Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause. That's Bob Reed. We're in for Rashmi Nair, who's enjoying March break somewhere, doing something.
Someplace warm, I think.
Someplace warm. Yeah. Someplace that there's not snow flurries and treacherous bits of ice. By all the condo buildings, Dan, so where I live right downtown, and there's all this construction around me. And everywhere that people are living, sidewalks are shoveled. There's no ice. People have put salt down. Yep. But these condo buildings that are half built, there's ice everywhere. Stuff they you would think that with the amount of people they have working on those buildings, somebody could go out and shovel the sidewalk.
Swing a shovel, yeah. Not happening.
Not happening.
Well, ice and snow is something that the folks who are behind autonomous vehicles, self-driving cars and trucks and other things, are trying to get their heads around. Because while they can teach them to watch out for other vehicles and pedestrians and important stuff like that, one of the complicating factors is if it snows, because snow is hard for the sensors on these things to pick up.
Yeah, it's hard. And I've heard stories about white vans or vehicles and things being a real problem. There's rear-ending those things because the cars just simply are not registering that they're there, these self-driving cars. So who better to talk about this with than our resident tech expert, Carmi Levy, who I leaned very heavily on in December and January when I was sitting in for Jim. We talked more than I spoke with my wife that month, Carmi. So welcome back. Nice to hear your voice again.
Oh, it's good to be back, although I will admit, Richard, my wife was a little bit jealous, too. So, you know, she's...
So
but I think we're good now. Yeah, this is a fascinating story. And a few months ago, my wife and I were driving her car. It's a fairly recent vehicle, and it's got all the, you know, automated lane keeping, mm-hmm. automatic cruise control, emergency braking, all the things that cars come with today. And we're driving on the 401. It's, you know, winter. It's cold. It had been snowing, and the roads were kind of messy. And all of a sudden, I look at the dashboard. It just lights up like a Christmas tree. And I'm thinking, that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. That's a new car. Should be okay. Well, the car was fine. It was driving. Engine was good. It was all of the safety systems stopped working because the sensors on the front of the car were now frozen over, and they had reached a point where they could no longer see what was going on. So I had to drive like the old days with my eyes and my hands and my brain, and I couldn't rely on the technology. And then when we got to an on route, we pulled off, and I stood there like a, you know, bit of a doofus, kind of with my hands on the bumper, trying to thaw everything out. And I had towels, and I cleaned it off, and the car was fine, and it never happens again. But it really reinforces the fact that you have all these incredible systems, but they're reliant on sensors that can very easily be gummed up by something as simple as snow, ice, dirt, dust, you name it. This stuff is far from perfect, and if we rely on it, and thankfully I wasn't that night, I think we got a bit of a problem.
Well, I think, and sorry, Bob, I'm just going to throw in, I think it's making us worse drivers. And I think that there will be a generation of drivers that don't go old school when something like that happens, because maybe they don't know how. And that's not, you know, next year or the year after that, but 10 or 15 years down the road, we're going to have people that don't have those very basic skills.
I think we're already seeing some surveys that suggest that these early generations of technology in terms of autonomy, we're like barely what's called level two, which is there's partial automation, but we're still expected to step in when we need to, is that we don't really understand what that line is. What's that interface point? Where's the break point where the car is doing its thing and where should I need to take over? And we haven't really sort of figured that out. And as a result, that's why we hear stories of Teslas running into emergency vehicles in the U.S. That's why we hear we see videos all the time, people just falling asleep in their cars on the highway, and the car is busy doing its driving. And thankfully, most of the time, no one gets hurt or dies or has an accident, but it can happen. And because we still haven't figured out that human-machine interface, and we are over-relying on this technology, and as a result, I think we're kind of becoming a little bit soft, which kind of frightens me as a pedestrian, as a driver, as a cyclist, as just a human being. Kind of scares me being on the road now when I realize people don't really get these technologies.
I do find as a driver, though, and my car is not sophisticated, but if I'm in a rental that has, you know, some additional bells and whistles that mine doesn't, you know, some of those reminders, those lane changes indicator and stuff like that, it's amazing how fast you get used to them.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's helpful. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I love these things, Bob. And we just took a trip and we rented a car. It was a fairly recent Toyota. It was a Prius. And it had all the doodads on it, but they're a little bit different from mine. And I also kind of fell right into it. It's like, oh, cool. Like, you know, I could certainly get used to this. But I think that sort of underscores another risk is that Toyota's approach to this technology is different than Honda's, which is different than Mercedes-Benz, which is different than everyone else's. And every time you get into a different car, as you do when you rent a vehicle, as you do if you drive professionally, they all work a little bit differently. And so it takes you a little while. So eventually I figured it out and I kind of like the car. In fact, I'd probably want to buy one next time I need to buy a car. But the problem here is what about those first few kilometers when I was still acclimatizing myself to that technology? Was I as safe as I probably could have been? I'll admit it here to all of our listeners, I don't think so. And that's what scares me. We're almost, the technology is leading us and we are following along. And the industry is doing a really great job of introducing new technologies into cars and putting them on the features list. Really, we're great at marketing them, not really great at making sure that we use them in a safe manner or that we are trained to use them or that they're consistent from one vehicle to another. The industry needs to do better.
We're speaking with Carmi Levy, our resident tech expert, and it's interesting, Carmi, the public opinion research about people's attitudes and their confidence levels in self-driving vehicles don't seem to be keeping pace as the technology moves forward. People still aren't buying this, it seems.
I'll throw this out there. Yeah. I have none. Even if it's a self-driving car, if there's a driver in it, I want their hands on the wheel. Whether they're doing anything or not, I want to see hands on the damn wheel.
Yeah, I'm not above shaking my head when I see someone in traffic who isn't driving with their hands on the wheel. Data out of the University of Windsor suggests that 70% of people, actually this American Automobile Association, but supported by research from the university, shows that 70% of people are afraid of self-driving vehicles. And what's scary here, the numbers are going in the wrong direction. It was 55% last year. It is up 13% in a year. So
and why is that, do you think?
We were afraid. I think because these technologies are becoming more popular. So every time you go to buy a new car, and we're buying more cars now as the pandemic starts to end, we're getting back into the market. Supply chain crunches at the car dealership are starting to ease. You can get the car that you want. Prices are starting to ease a little bit as well. And so more people are in market. So the technology is now accelerating again. And more of us are realizing, it's like, oh, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I was taught as a driver. It's kind of scary. And I think they realize that handing control over to the technology when it isn't fully baked yet, we're decades away from that happening, kind of a scary place to be. And I think all of us are kind of having an eye-opening moment when we get behind the wheel.
Carmi Levy, thanks so much.
Pleasure so great to, being here, guys. Thank you.
A pleasure to hear your voice again. That was Carmi Levy, Newstalk 1010 tech expert. When we come back, we're going to have a look at some of the big stories of the day. And then we're going to talk about the Millard Smitch murder appeals. They've reopened wounds for the victims' families. We're going to have a look at that. Janice Golding did a great report on that on the news earlier today. So we'll play that for you and just get under the skin of that a little bit. I'm Richard Krause. That's Bob Reed, sitting in for Rush Meenair on The Rush.